Glory to Jesus Christ. Thank you for joining us. The aim of this class is to gain the art of spiritual life through the teaching of Holy Bishop Ignatius Branchaninov. This study has already transformed many lives, and we hope your life will be transformed too.
So welcome back. I would like especially to welcome those who are first time here. And I heard this, that is your work, that you brought these new faces here.
No, okay.
Rumors?
Yeah, but I barely even know them, actually.
All right, then. So probably we are going to have a very hard time after this class. But welcome, and so we are going to continue on chapter on purity, and we are on page 211, the last two paragraphs. Actually, now there will be like a little bit longer part, some kind of story, but it is very interesting. So listen carefully. All right, please.
Before he achieved Christian perfection, St. Pieman the Great tried to find instruction and guidance from contemporary elders. He turned to his certain Abba Joseph, a hesychast in Panthos, for advice. Pieman once asked the elder, "How should I act when carnal desires begin to bother me? Should I fight them off, or should I let them enter?" The elder answered, "Let them enter, and then begin to fight them." Having received such an answer, Pieman returned to Skeet, where he was leading a life of hesychasm. After this, a certain monk came to Skeet from the Thebaid. He told the brothers that when he asked, Abba Joseph told him not to allow the carnal thoughts in, but to cut them off immediately. When St. Pieman heard that Abba Joseph gave the monk such advice, he returned to him and said, "Abba, I hid not a single thought from you, but you said one thing to me and the complete opposite to the monk from Thebaid." The elder answered him, "Don't you know that I love you?" "Yes, I do." The elder continued, "Was it not you who told me that I should tell you the same things that I would tell myself? When carnal thoughts begin to attack you and you let them in, only then beginning to fight them off, you will later become a more experienced fighter. I said this to you because it is what I would have said to myself. When carnal thoughts begin to attack beginners, then it is dangerous for them to let them in. They must immediately cut them off." When St. Pieman himself became a guide for other monks, he similarly forbade certain monks to allow carnal thoughts to enter their mind, since they would inevitably allow themselves to enjoy the impure thoughts. Only those already living the life of the angels were allowed to employ such a dangerous battical tactic. The existence of such a method of battling temptations can be explained by the superhuman spiritual heights reached by the monks of that time. It is obvious that for such an ascetic labor, one must have already reached a state of dispassion. Later, fathers forbade such methods for all monks, since it is extremely dangerous, and most likely there were several instances of unfortunate failures in this battle. St. Isaac the Syrian, for example, said the following, "Do not allow your mind to be tempted by carnal thoughts or images that have influence over you, thinking that you will not be defeated by them. Even the wisest were thus darkened and made a laughingstock. We must follow this advice."
Very interesting part, isn't it? And I spent a little bit time, you know, thinking why he put this advice, especially this first one, to this book, because, well, it seemed to me when they abandoned this advice and they were not using it for, even for monks, not for people from the world, why he mentioned that. And later I got explanation from one book when it was written that many times we read books from these holy saints, these teachers of spiritual life from early centuries. And they many times, even these stories from life of desert fathers, they have this some kind of examples of this kind of battle, which is really extreme almost. And this is why, and the reason why Brancino is mentioning is that we have to know that this tactic, this spiritual warfare, existed in the past. But when we read about that, we should not be tempted to follow this example, even if it is offered to us through these books from life of those ancient saints. And again, why he would give him this advice to let this thought, bad thought, or this temptation almost to let in and then to fight with that? The reason is that there is the spiritual law. If you conquer temptation, if you fight and you win, it attracts some kind of grace, some kind of gift you are, or reward you are receiving. And many saints, they say that it is some kind of sweetness you experience inside of your soul, which comes out from this victory, this sweetness, reward, or collected already here on earth, but they believe that they will receive this crown of victory, of this white martyrdom in heaven. So many of those monks, they entered to these extreme battles, which was very difficult, just to reach this sweetness and maybe to multiply rewards in heaven for this battle. And it was like really good exercise. But Brancino says that this is acting of this superhuman, like athletes, you know, who already reached this state of dispassion. It means they were made free by God, that passions didn't bother them after years and years of very strict asceticism and spiritual work. So that Piemann gave him this advice because he saw that this monk is ready even for this extreme battle. But to the other, he didn't give the same advice. He gave totally different advice. And it's good explanation that while the really for us, and really, even now I don't think that there are some kind of these heroes, spiritual heroes, who would follow this advice, because It's those people are rare. Saint Isaac Syrian says that it is one in generation reaches this state of dispassion, you know, and he was saying this in the 7th century. Now it is even more difficult. So for us, it is that it's not sign of weakness when we run away, when temptation is coming. It's better for us to run away than to enter directly and willingly to this battle when we let the thought comes to us. But this happens. But what does it mean when we let the thought come in? We talked several weeks ago this story or this saying of Saint Paisios from Athos. He said, well, he explained thoughts this way, that thoughts are as a planes. You can see them, you even can hear them, they are flying over your head. But well, they cannot hurt you. The problem starts when you build airport in your heart. Then they can unload what they carry, and you have to deal with that. So this time when we hear this noise of these thoughts, which carry this impulse of temptation, we can recognize that there are in our mind, they come and they are gone. Even you can sometimes stronger temptation makes noise, but you don't care, you let it go and it disappear. So this is time when we are running away. We hear and we run away, and relatively nothing can happen to us. But when we catch this thought and we build airport in our heart, we let this thought to land in our heart. It means when we start to make fantasies, we start to work, to think about that, to play with this thought, and we let the thought let these roots go to be rooted in our heart. This is dangerous. This is when we let the thought in. And usually when we do this, we already failed. Because even if we don't let ourselves to go to practical sin outside, indeed, we already agreed with that. Remember this story about this monk who was judged because he didn't steal grapes, but he was going around vineyard and he had desire for these grapes, but he was afraid of that they can catch him. So well, it was said he will be not judged as a thief, but still he will be judged because he already had this desire. He was just too covered. He was covered that goal and to take it. But in heart he already agreed with that. So this is when we let this thought go in. Does it make sense? Mm-hmm. Question or comments? You want to add something? No? Good. Let's continue.
From the lives of God's saints, we see that some of them withstood terrible and continuous battles with carnal thoughts and feelings while they passed from a passionate state to one of dispassion. This happened not only to those who led a dissolute life before monasticism, such as Saint Moses and Mary of Egypt, but also to virgins such as Saint Simeon the Full for Christ, Saint John, the long-suffering of the Kiev Caves, and others. The fierceness of the battle raised them to incredibly advanced, even superhuman, ascetic labors. And since the gifts of divine grace always multiply with increased sorrows and labors, the aforementioned saints were deemed worthy of incredible gifts of grace, thanks to their unbelievable labors and the ferocity of the battle they waged. Both the battle and their labors were exceptional events in asceticism. They cannot be the guide for all ascetics. It is good and even necessary to emulate as much as possible the strength of their willpower, determination, faith, and self-limitation, but their actual ascetic labors remain impossible to emulate.
Good. Thank you. So he continues actually in this to pointing to this direction that many times these examples from saints, especially if it is goodwill in our hearts and desire for God and this zeal for God, and we can be taken by life of a saint, and we want to follow this example we can see from life of that saint, and so we try to follow way of life he led or she led. And this is very dangerous, because we have to realize one thing, and it is another spiritual law, that we all are unique. We cannot live life, the same life of which we see in some kind of saint. We can take examples and to adjust to our life, but our way to heaven, it's totally unique. Nobody will go in the same way as we are going to heaven. Now, when we are taken by example of these saints, okay, we have to really realize that there is a huge danger for us. Because if we are not ready, we can go and to start, for example, follow their discipline in fasting. I mean, try, okay, he fasted, so he ate like once per day and a little bit. So I say, I can do this. And I, yes, for sure, we can do it for one day, second day, third day, and then it will become impossible. We stop. We fail. And this experience of this failure causes that we abandon totally the fasting. We just, there is some kind of resignation in our heart is present, and because of that we say, I am not going to fast because I am too weak, I am not able to do this. So we don't do even this little bit we can do. So this is very, very important. Now, but we have to realize that to have this discipline, to follow their example in measure we are able to do, and we always, it's very good for us, because all those things multiply blessings which are come from heaven. And I'm not talking about this effect for our spiritual growth. There's an impossible to make progress in our spiritual life if those tools are not present in our life. It's impossible. We will be living just in fantasy that, yes, we want to love God, that we want to be holy, we want to go to heaven. But if there are no tools or not these weapons of spiritual warfare in our lives present, so we will stay on this level or fantasy or good wish, you know, but we will not progress. So there is some kind of very, we have to find this moderation, not to go to extremes, not to take it lightly. And because of that, for example, this is very good place for our topic to discuss it with your spiritual father. Now, I am not talking with father confessor, this is a different thing. Your spiritual father, who knows you well, and he can give blessing to you to try something would be more strict if you want to try it. Usually he will make it lighter than if you go to extra extremes. Or if it's just a little bit, he can say, well, you can do more, you know, so he can add. But for sure, next time he will be asking, how are you doing? And he will adjust this rule for your life. Not it is not that he is like knowing everything, wisdom. It is because of this position, God gives him blessing and wisdom to make judgment. And another thing is that sometimes it is even like from experience, spiritual experience, and just and sometimes even that we share our thought with somebody, that other can see our effort in different light, in more realistic life, because we can be taken by zeal, we can be taken, overwhelmed, and filled with excitement to go, and we cannot make clear and good judgment to share this, to give this my decision to somebody, to offer for judgment. It's very necessary. It's very necessary. So, but anyway, but still, this holy zeal which pushes us to push these limits is very good. And it should be somehow always present in us, this tension in our heart, that to go further, to really put extra effort to my spiritual life. It is sign of our love to God, or confirmation of a desire for heaven, for holiness. So we should not abandon that, but do it wisely, not to go to extremes.
Okay. I have a comment.
Sure.
It's something that I've struggled with in my life and learned to, like my mom and I, if I get advice from, when you were my spiritual father, or, you know, vice versa, or Miran now, and like I've had to learn to not share anything that has been told to me by my spiritual father, because, like he said, the advice that I'm given is not the advice that would be given to Miran or would be given to my mom or, you know, anybody. So I just, that's something that I was always really tempted to do, because I, you know, if you hear somebody having the same problem that you are, or some, you know, same issue, you're more likely to say, well, you know what, this is what somebody told me to do, so maybe you should try it. But it's so important to just like learn, like go to your spiritual father and seek that advice, like on your own, in your like one-on-one.
That's the best advice, go to your spiritual father.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, yes, correct, very good comment. And but I would not be so strict, you know, like if there is somebody who struggles, mm-hmm. and you have about this medicine, you know, that it helps you, you can, well, in some case you can say, look, I was doing this, mm-hmm. and it helped me, but then to add this, bring it to your spiritual father and ask if it is good for you to try that.
Right. Okay.
You know, well, now, we don't, it's not good to share all those things all time with everybody, but really when our love pushes us really to help this person who is fighting, we will feel this moment, but still we need to play this safe, that to ask, to add this. And but you said something, I have to remind that probably we were talking about that, I don't remember. It is about the sharing. You gave me the thought that I don't know how it was here or how it is here, you know, like United States. But when I was growing, like in seminary and then new priest in Slovakia, there was like huge push. Everybody was talking about that and trying to practice that, to share spiritual experience with others, these meetings, and we were encouraged to do this as a part of evangelization. And Well, but reading these Holy Fathers, they are against this. Actually, they say, keep it for yourself. Only if there is a necessary, share this. It's totally different approach. And, yes?
I have something to say about that, though, because only until recently, I mean, recently meaning the past 10 years that you've been here, that, I mean, I've ever heard of having a spiritual father. The only thing we've ever had, I mean, I went to Roman Catholic grade school, okay, and we grew up, you know, in the Roman Catholic part, even though we were Byzantine Catholic, but even all the priests that we've had were never encouraged that. I never even heard of it before until you came. And I know we have a lot of people here that you've lived your whole life in a Roman Catholic church. What's your thinking about this? What's your experience? I mean, did you have a spiritual father?
I can tell you something. Maybe father should explain what a spiritual father is, you know, because my daughter just asked me the same thing, you know. But in the Roman Rite, and I talked to, it was basically a priest that works with Father Ripper here, you know, if you've ever listened to him on YouTube. Mm-hmm. But he mentioned, he goes, the problem with the Roman, not so much the East, but the problem with the Roman is people are going to confession just to get absolution. Mm-hmm. And then they're told, well, if you really think you need spiritual advice and you want to move, you want to progress, then you need to ask your pastor for a spiritual advisor. And usually your pastor will send you to a different church. So you get spiritual advisement from someone else. So I know people that go. Yeah, so I'll give you a perfect example. A couple of people I know very well, they're trying to move forward in their spiritual life in the Roman Rite. Might be at St. Francis de Sales. Well, they might send them to St. Sebastian's for spiritual advice. Somebody from St. Sebastian's might send them to St. Francis de Sales. So the actual pastor isn't giving the spiritual advice.
I was going to say in the Roman, it's totally separated. It's you can have a confessor, but you can also have a spiritual director.
Yeah. Right.
Or a spiritual father. They would say a spiritual director. And they aren't necessarily the same. And in fact, one may, like he was saying, one may want you to seek out someone that doesn't know you so well, to that hears your confessions all the time. Even, I mean, that would be saying that you go face to face, because most Roman Catholics don't go face to face. They go in a
cubicle
or with a wall between. But if you are one of those people that go face to face, they still want you to go to somebody else. I guess the thinking is to get an outside view, that they're not hearing the same. It's somebody like seeing something with different eyes. I know this person. This priest is saying, I know this person and I know everything about them. So I want somebody else to see them and listen to them and see if they see what I see and have them direct them.
I even had one priest say, if I send this person over to this parish, they'll be more honest with them than they will be with me, because they see me 3-4 days a week.
Right.
You know, so I don't know, but I...
And not knowing about a spiritual director is, that would be poor communication or catechesis on the priest's part, because that's always been there. There's always been spiritual directors within the Roman Rite. And not knowing about it is only through the priest not explaining or not directing people, you should have one of those. You should be seeking out, you know, counsel from a priest. Because they don't think of it, like I said, they don't think of it the same. Counsel isn't confession. That's confession is confession, and counsel is counsel. And two totally different things.
And if you go to the same priest, you know, lots of times, I bet you a lot of people in this room have the same experience. If you go to the same priest within 2 weeks, they'll tell you, don't come back for a month or two. I've had that numerous times. You were just here. You said your confession was a week and a half ago. Don't come back for a month.
Mark, you wanted something?
Well, John and I were just talking over here briefly. The Western Church is kind of
a mess.
A well-formed, you know, spiritual father in the West would know that that's not how it's supposed to be.
Yeah, right.
Like you should always have your same confessor being your spiritual director,
right?
Because
and they would want it to be somebody who knows you very well.
Right.
Like all the Western saints, you know, it's all the same. They say the same stuff. You know, pick a priest who knows you and knows your faults, knows your habits.
Mm-hmm. It's kind of almost an issue of like.
It's the formation of the priest.
Yeah, a lot of priests don't want to take on spiritual direction because they know they're not well formed to take it on. And they know they're responsible for you, so they'll usually send you somewhere else.
Well, I know the new right priests too, with what you were talking about. I know that a lot of the new right seminaries teach that if somebody's constantly, quote unquote, coming to confession, it's because they're scrupulous.
Oh,
so like,
okay.
Yeah, you've been told, right? Confession. Like, oh, your confession is a week ago. You're scrupulous. Get out of here. Yeah, like that kind of.
That's so strange.
But
like,
that's all the formation of the priest. It's not actually like the tradition of the West. It's
no, that's yeah. It's poor. It's
poor
not poor catechesis. Like I'm saying that she doesn't know. Has never heard of that. That's poor catechesis from her being raised, but them not. Explaining that and promoting it within the church is poor catechesis that they received.
For the pastors, yeah.
It's a mess.
Going through their seminary, that they should have been told that, you know, this is something you need to, you know, preach to your people,
mm-hmm.
that this is something you should do.
Oh, yeah, the priests don't know.
And I think a lot of times it's not that they don't care, it's just like you said, they weren't taught to do that.
I mean, from my experience, too. Coming from Protestant,
you made this discussion. You made these little ones angry.
There you go. coming from a Protestant point of view, where I was that for a good 20 something years, there was a lot of teachings. There was a lot of steering, sort of shepherding. Then when we went into the Catholic Church for another 20 years, the shepherding is void. It's gone. It's all you. You go there. It's all on you on how you spiritually grow. And you got to seek out all of it. If you don't find it, you can keep asking. Sometimes they don't know a spiritual guide, a counselor to send you to. It's basically all manual. You have to do it yourself, and that's what I found for many years.
Mm-hmm.
Coming here is a melding of two worlds,
mm-hmm.
where I saw it in the Protestant world where there was that some of that shepherding there, but then I saw also the spiritual aspect from the Catholicism too, and this, what you're doing, is the best of both worlds and even better than that,
mm-hmm.
On that end of it, because there's counseling, there's shepherding. Yeah. And that's why we're all flocking here.
Now all night, thoughts, you know, pride or whatever. What the hell would I have done to you?
What? You ruined it. You know, and we're not trying to blow your head up, you know, with pride, but, you know, look at the kids that are being drawn to you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I mean, they're absolutely being fed here.
I think that it's more about this. Look, who caused that? This our discussion was Brianza, you know. So I would point you to this guy and other saints who teach us. I would like to make some kind of summary because I understand that many of these comments are coming from painful experience that and from some kind of searching something you didn't get and you feel pain from that, you know, for sure. So let me explain this a little bit. What is spiritual father? Spiritual father, it might be priest, monk, or even not ordained person who is spiritually matured, okay? Who went through all these battles and has experience of spiritual life and leads some kind of virtuous life. So then we have this priest who is confessor, okay? during history, it was somehow natural that pastor of the parish was that spiritual father. It was the same title, but this because, well, if I go back to Slovakia to my parishes, they would probably know, but they would not think too much about spiritual father because it was normal that pastor was doing this job. For example, my father was in one parish 27 years. He was pastor there for all these 27 years. And it was, he told me that, well, sometimes he was so annoyed that he said that even like little rock on the path was like problem for him because he was so tired already. But the other hand, he said, but this gives me advantage because if somebody comes, I know many people. So he baptized my wife, my father. So let's stop here. Okay, because this evil one, it was like giving me bad thoughts, you know, jokes. But he knew, he led from baptism to wedding and then even started to baptize their children. So he knew not only these children from childhood, he knew what kind of influence they are getting from their family, from friends, from wider family. So it was easy for him to, like through confession, it was based usually on one per month everybody came. So those were like little advices he was giving to try to somehow make this show the way, you know, always little corrections. So many, they didn't realize that they are getting this spiritual direction through normal confession. And this was my experience in my three parishes in Slovakia, that after, you cannot do it like immediately, you need, my experience is 8 years, be in parish when you can start to somehow see that now I that you have some kind of courage to approach somehow without us, the people don't ask for that, but you can give this advice which goes beyond the confession, what is like help for spiritual life. Now, what was broken? This worked. There are several reasons why this spiritual fatherhood of pastors was damaged. The first was this fashion or this mood to transfer priests, pastors. Look, if a pastor is for 5-10 years in parish, he cannot become spiritual father. You know, it takes time. But if you move from place to place, you even don't try to enter to this relationship with people, because spiritual father is really this relationship with that people. I tell you, if you are doing that, I remember my first parish, I was transferred after 5 years. It was very painful because you created this bond with people and it was very painful. And then you are going to another parish and you create again, and then you transfer again after, in my case it was 10 years. And I realized at the time there was this offer to go abroad to, because Bishop was searching for priests willing to go to abroad. I realized my third parish, I said, now it's time to make decision. Because if I stay here longer, I would be not able to leave these people. It's painful. But, well, But in the case that priests know that, well, I am staying here 5 years, 4 years, maybe less, there are many of them that are naturally careful not to create these bounds because it's painful to break them. So, and if you have this rotation of priests with this kind of thinking, you can create some kind of mentality or this way how they understand priesthood, that they don't have courage to enter deeper to the lives of others because it is very painful then to break this. The second reason why it went away a little bit is understanding of spiritual fatherhood. But the most important is, and Father David Abernethy, he mentioned that many times, and he is so right, it is that formation of priests and even monastics. Because what seminary or this formation should be, formation to become spiritual fathers, it was changed to become a person with title from theology. So it's important how many papers you will write, how many books you will read, how excellent you are in philosophy or argumentation. This is like some kind of priority to reach this academical, some kind of like position. But what is forgotten is this learning of art to be spiritual father. And this art is required that they don't have real spiritual fathers as those who form them. Maybe father confessors, or if they have spiritual directors, but this understanding, what does it mean to be spiritual director, is many times deformed because those directors didn't have correct formation too. Does it make sense?
Oh yeah.
So this is why it is important what we are doing now, because, well, we have to admit, somebody said that church is mess.
Yeah.
That is mess.
West is mess.
Oh, he's in West too.
We just keep it quiet.
We just pretend.
Don't tell the West.
No.
Don't let the Romans go.
No. Look. Okay, how to... Now what? We are going to criticize? Are we going to be unhappy? No. What happened in church, if we go back, we can find, and we were talking about this, I don't want to repeat all this story, but always we go back and we see some kind of renewal in the church. It was always connected with renewal of spiritual life according to the advice of Holy Fathers. This return back to patristic, it is ascetical fathers who teach about spiritual life, about the teaching of the saints, always brought really some kind of renewal of church, because it was this fresh air, this was this really this challenge was given there. And there were like, even like in Greece, you know, and Russia in the 17th century, when Deacon Ed was here, if you remember, he was talking about that. It was bad situation, really very bad situation. And even on Mount Athos, among these monks, it was decline of spiritual life, I think. And what happened? There were like two monks in this century. It was Paisy Velichkovsky, who came from Ukraine, and he went to Mount Athos, and he spent whole his life searching for work of these writings, Holy Fathers, and he was translating it to Romanian language and Old Slavonic or Russian language. So he spent dedicated whole life to this. And when he was at Mount Athos searching, then he met Nicodemus, Greek monk, and this he was taken, this Nicodemus was taken by this effort of Pisces, and he started to do the same to translate to modern Greek this text. So Pisces published Philokalia, this collection of writings of saints into the Slavic languages, Romanian, and Nicodemus did it for in Greek. And there was hesitation. Some of them were saying that, well, those things are only for monks, not for regular people. Why to publish that? And they said the best belong to everybody. Mm-hmm. And what happened? Nicodemus, Pisces, they raised their disciples. And what they did, what they added was ancient tradition. Every day, for example, it is in life of St. Pisces, every day monks gather around Pisces and he read them piece of writings of saints, teaching. And he explained this, something what we are doing here, but except I am not saint. But well, we let Briancino to speak to us. And he formed them in this way. He then came from Manatos to Moldavia with 80, I think, disciples. From these disciples, they raised more disciples. And it spread like fire through Romania and Russia. And what happened is that Briancianino, Theophan the Recluse, are like grandchildren of Pisces, spiritual grandchildren. And they continued in this, and through them and then through these elders of Optima Monastery in Russia, it spread like this renewal of whole Russia, Romania, and in Greece, there was another movement this in next century, that the renewal of spiritual life went up, and even this understanding of need of spiritual fathers, etc. What I'm saying is, this is way how we can fix this mess. It worked not only at that century, before it repeated again and again. So we can learn, and we can follow their example to turn to Holy Father, to study them, not intellectually, to take them as real spiritual fathers, because this is that many times we cannot find spiritual father. You know, it's impossible, because while they are not here, we have to admit that. But in this case, Holy Fathers, they say, well, it might happen that you will not find. Saint Simeon the New Theologian, he says, with tears in eyes, search for spiritual father. And actually, this must be the second step in spiritual life. First is decision for God. The second is to find spiritual father. This is what Saint Simeon says. So we are supposed to search, and they say, if you don't find, choose one of these saints as your spiritual father. Choose him, and they say, well, I am choosing you. You talk to me, and I will follow your words. And this is what we are doing here, we are trying to do. And he is doing wonderful, amazing job in this parish, Briancianino, you know. And then, even if we have problems that we cannot move and don't have anybody to give our advice, spiritual advice, and we are searching, asking God, begging God, they say, Holy Fathers, they say, then God himself will become your guide. And well, they don't explain it, but there are these inspirations which are coming. But God always answers to our need. So even maybe it is like desert now. Maybe if we are searching for spiritual fathers, we cannot find. But yes, we have these Holy Fathers, they can help us, but we have to have this hope that, well, if we are really searching, if we are asking God for guidance, to give us spiritual father, and we cannot find, then we don't need to worry too much, because if not through these writings, Holy Fathers, then through God's intervention, we will get what we'll need, this direction. And if we start to do this, we will create new generation. You who are young here, your children will become strong generation because you will lead them. Look, now when we are talking, or if you are listening to their podcast, what they have behind kitchen table, and I was thinking once that, well, I was so dumb in their age, you know, like on the spiritual, about the spiritual things, raised in seminary without this formation. I didn't get that. So, well, but now I see that they are already somewhere else than I was. So their children will be raised really in better way than I was raised, or he was raised, because of limited knowledge. If we start to feed ourselves with this wisdom, Holy Fathers, so then we will raise new generation, which will be much stronger. And from this stronger generation, new generation of priests will come. Hopefully new generation of bishops, probably popes. But we cannot wait that something will change, you know, by itself. We cannot wait for help. This is our goal. We have only one soul, and we have to take care of our soul. So, well, if we feel lack of direction, advices, search those who became saint, holy. Learn from them, not to gain information, search for life, search for how to live, how to love God, what they did, what they offered to us, what they shared with us, these spiritual laws. And we will grow. There will be a blessing upon that. Life will be changed. And more you will be concentrating on your soul, your life, more people around you will be blessed without talking about that, without sharing your faith. And this is why I'm very thankful for this group. You know, because I can see that how much good things it brought, how much blessing, and even we had more people, they are listening podcast, but it is too long drive here for many, but they're listening. But they have books, they read that, I know that, and it gives me hope, because I can see that they are changing how they see church. They are changing, like you mentioned, your sisters, that, well, how they see confession, for example. Well, they were formed this way. They don't have this experience. What does it mean? But hopefully they will get this inspiration. They will change. And then they will find in you some of these good instructors. Say, well, try Branchan, you know, or try somebody else, you know, and eyes will be opened. Every patient, God wishes salvation of each of us, and he works. Really hard to save us all, and use each like this crack he's using to let flood of grace to our souls to save us. So we should not be worried. But I would like to, and this is what I see, and as a priest, a person, you know, that I see those things and I listen, I can hear what, and I am upset about many things in a church because, well, it takes many people away. But I have hope that through this sitting at the feet of saints and to learn from them, we can really grow. And maybe we will not see fruit of our efforts. Maybe we will die and see nothing, no renewal. But for sure the next generation will bring this fruit. Maybe it is time for us, maybe we live in this time of history of the church, when we are called by God to put back all those good seeds, you know, and let them, let God's grace to take care of them, to give them to these growth, to these seeds, and to bring fruit in correct time. Sorry. I didn't touch even explain this Holy Spiritual Fathers, but I just wanted to share what how I see that, and we have to be patient, and but try to do our best, you know. Okay. All right. So thank you very much. It's 1 hour. I'm sorry. It's good discussion, but let's keep it in 1 hour. Okay. I receive a blessing.
We hope you enjoyed this podcast. Please share it with those who might like to be enriched by this teaching of Holy Bishop Ignatius. If you live in our area, we would love if you could join us for our study in person on Monday nights at 7 p.m. at St. Nicholas Byzantine Catholic Church in Barberton, Ohio. Thank you and God bless.